Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Women's Fittest. So you guys, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about boundaries today because I ran into this girl at the gym that I had never met before, and I kind of made a new friend and we were talking a little bit, and I'm going to explain that in just a second. But first I wanted to say, so obviously I have not been putting out podcasts on a regular basis, and I had this sort of mid-level epiphany that I wanted to share with all of you, because I think in this fitness space, we hear this, like, what's your excuse a lot for, especially for exercise and going to the gym and this type of thing. But it's obviously something that you can apply to any aspect of your life. And it's a little bit disheartening for some of us who take things personally and feel like they're doing their best in life and are just really trying not to cave to the pressures of what other people want us to do and are trying to figure out what's best for our lives and make good choices. And I was thinking about how that type of a phrase, or like people will say, we all have the same 24 hours in a day, or a workout is only 4% of your work, of your 24 hours or something like that. I don't even know what the percentage is. I think that's right. Like if it's an hour or whatever. And I just wanted to allow you to look at this from a compassionate viewpoint for yourself, to say that what I was realizing is that it's not always that you don't have the time for something, it's that you don't have the energy. And so I think that's where we end up getting caught. We get caught up doing things that are easier, that take less energy with our time. So even, you know, some things take a lot of energy and other things don't. And so that's why we get caught up with like scrolling on social media or not going to the gym because we don't have the energy to put 100% into our workout. And just to tail off of that, I want to say that I've said this before, but your 100% looks different every day, right? Because like if you're giving everything, some days you don't have the energy that you have on other days. And so 100% looks different on in any given day. And so just like not as an excuse, but to give yourself a little bit of compassion and just say, like, if I'm going to go do this workout, I don't want to do my leg workout because I feel like I'm going to half-ass it, but that's the 100% that I could give that day. And so this is actually one of the points that I'm going to go into when I talk about boundaries and a couple of the things that I spoke about with this girl. But anyways, leading to, this is all tailing around to like stuff with the podcast. It's not that I haven't had time to do a 20 or 30 minute podcast. I just haven't had the energy, and I never want to come across on these episodes like, I'm really tired or I'm not into it, because I just don't like putting out a podcast that doesn't make me sound like I'm passionate about what I'm doing, because I feel like I always am. I just don't always have the energy to display that. So anyways, just taking a step back and looking at how I spend my time, and sometimes I could even equate this, like, I spent the last 18 years putting everything towards raising my daughter, and now I just kind of want to take a little break. And I've talked about restful healing before too, and I think that is just, it's just been a more simple time. And I have a list that I'm acquiring of podcasts I want to do, and they tend to shift around because I'll be all gung-ho about what I want to do, and then something like this will come up. And I almost did this a couple of days ago, just because usually right after something happens in my life that I want to do a podcast about, then I end up doing it right away. But, you know, once again, things with my actual real job do take precedence, and then I don't have the energy to do the podcast. But also, when I do a podcast, especially when it's with somebody else, that does take a lot of energy out of me, just because it's a little bit anxiety inducing, because I want things to come across relevantly and articulately and passionately. And so then I end up putting it off, right? So, and then one last thing, just to tie into this, I feel like this is the third point to kind of get you, you know, like, okay, these are your reasons for not doing something. This is maybe what you need to reevaluate, how you're using your time and why. And then also, a clip that I saw from Chris Williamson on social media, where he was talking with this guy in his podcast, and he said that whenever you put something off, you're still putting energy towards it, and that's energy that you could be using to actually do the thing that you're putting off. And I was like, that is the truest thing ever. Because whenever you make a to-do list, especially if they're like mine, where there's more things on the to-do list for the day than you know that you could accomplish, you are still putting energy towards that thing, and then you've just put it off. And so the next day you're putting energy towards that thing because it's holding a space that you need to do it. And so sometimes being a little bit more organized about when you're going to actually do something, rather than how many things can I knock out today, saying like, I'm going to do these 5 things, and tomorrow I'm going to do these 4 things, and the next day I'm going to do these 4 things, and you know, whatever it is. So, I don't know, just some things that I've been thinking about and that I've been working on. But, so I ran into this girl at the gym. We just made eye contact. I made a comment on her sweatshirt, and I could tell that she was new to her fitness journey. I'm not about to describe anyone, or anything, but I'll just let you know that I knew that she was newer to her fitness journey. And we just started talking a little bit, and she told me about some of the things that she's been doing. She's been working out since August of last year, and things that she has been doing to, you know, on a regular basis or whatever. And I just felt like they were really good points to share for somebody who's new to things, because here's the beauty of social media, podcasts, information that you'll have access to if you really, really want to. I mean, like, gosh, I was just thinking about this the other day. Like, anytime that I have a question, like something pops up in my head, I can Google it or use DuckDuckGo or whatever it is. So, like, there are possible answers to everything at our fingertips if we really, really want to know the answer. And it's just mind-boggling to me how we just, you know, didn't know things 30, 40 years ago, and now we have this whole bank to glean from, to sift through. And, you know, there's obviously an overabundance of information, but, you know, that's where discernment comes in. Anyways, so we were just talking about things that she was doing, and she is doing things that she, I'm sure, learned just from doing a little bit of research and didn't have to follow guidelines that were maybe incorrectly taught to her by like family members or whatever. And it's not like a huge trial and error, because if you research, you can have a pretty direct path to try things out, and you just don't spend a whole lot of time spinning your wheels, because once you decide that you're going to choose a path and go down that course, you know, you have some rules to go by, and most of them are going to be, you know, if it's nothing too crazy or too far from it, diverged from what you're normally doing. Because I feel like behavior change needs to be something doable and adaptable. And so, like, my example would be, like, you've never worked out a day in your life. And optimally, you would want to work out 5 times a week or whatever. But that's not, and this is another podcast idea that I actually was going to talk about. But, you know, that's not what you're going to be capable of doing starting off right off the bat. And more than likely, if you do that, you're going to be really sore. You're going to be really tired. You're going to, I mean, it's a huge chunk of your life that you would be changing if you suddenly added 5 days of working out. So you have to, it has to be something that you will be consistent with and be able to stick to. So anyways, before I go into some of the stuff that Hannah told me about, I'm going to say her name, and I actually told her about the podcast, so she might end up listening to this, and that's fine because it's all good things. You can tell I'm a little bit emotional. I hate how emotional I am, but it's just my valve regulation. Like when I get a little bit too, you know, overwhelmed with a feeling, then I need to have a little bit of a cry to like let that out and then get back to normalizing. Like that's just me. And so I shouldn't apologize for that, but that's just how I function. So anyways, it was very timely and such a blessing meeting her. I can't express that enough. But like I said, I'm always learning, and here's somebody who hasn't even been working out for a year, and I'm just like, these are really good things. These are good boundaries that she has put in place for herself, and that's why I had titled this episode Boundaries. And I want to explain the difference between boundaries and ultimatums, which I think, going back to what I said, is what people do, or extremes, right? Extremes and rules and everything is very black and white when they get into a new like fitness regime and they want to, oh, I'm not going to eat any sugar, which is impossible, right? Unless you're just eating meat 24/7. I'm not going to eat, you know, because sugar comes in all, anyways, I'm not going to go into that, but like, you know, I'm cutting out all sugar, I'm cutting out all processed foods. Like, what does that even mean? Like, things that you don't even know are processed, you know, only clean. I'm going to exercise, you know, 5 days a week and do fasted cardio every morning. And, you know, there's all these things, and then people wonder why they can't stick to their program. And it's just like, you're not used to any of this at all, and it's very, very hard. So you almost have to be sneaky with, you know, the rules that you set in place, and maybe think of something for each aspect that you have difficulty with. So if, you know, dieting is, you know, if your diet is a huge culprit for you, then you need to figure out a boundary that is going to take you to a better level. And it might not be the ultimate, like it might not be the best. You might not be eating, you know what I'm saying, like when you expect to, you know, you might not be eating your oatmeal and peanut butter and eggs for breakfast and your chicken and broccoli and rice for lunch and your salmon and asparagus and sweet potato for dinner with a protein shake post-workout with an apple and a fruit smoothie that has spinach. And you know what I mean? Like, what is your, whatever your ideal, most healthiest diet might look like. And that would be great, right? If we could all do that, and you will see many Olympians eating like that most of the time and being fine with it, because they're a different breed. But for the average person who is trying to improve their health and also maybe their physique, we have some room to groove here. And that's why, you know, your boundary has to be something that you can stick with. So a boundary set, I got this off of Google because Google's amazing, right? So while a boundary sets what you will and won't allow or put up with in your own life, ultimatums are less flexible and don't have room for change. And so a boundary focuses on you. And this is something that Hannah was talking about. We didn't even really talk about boundaries, but I realized everything that she was saying falls under the umbrella of boundaries. A boundary focuses on you and your needs and your limits and what you can be comfortable with or live with. They are not for another person. They're for yourself. And this was something that she had said also, that she was focusing more on herself. An ultimatum focuses on another person. It makes demands of, threatens, or tries to control others. And this is more like a relationship. But you can see also how an ultimatum controls yourself and a boundary is more of a loving limit with a, I'm like using my hands as if to say, like, you have a little bit more of leeway or whatever. So, anyways, I just thought that was really interesting because I was like, yeah, what boundaries are, like, why are boundaries different than these like hardcore rules? And I kind of was looking up how this is better explained. And so a boundary is about your own limits, whereas an ultimatum is specifically designed to control somebody else or something else, like your environment. And you can't control that, but you can control what you choose. So, all right, so let's go back to my conversation with Hannah and some of the things that she was doing that I felt like were really, really cool. So the first thing was one of her nutritional boundaries, because we talked about, I shared with her about not looking at food as black and white, which I've talked about many times in past episodes, something that I had struggled with. We talked about emotional eating and about how some foods feel like rewards because they're delicious, right? And you get the dopamine hit from different things, and that's different for everybody. But one of the things that she was doing was she has a cutoff time with eating, and I don't think she's doing intermittent fasting. Which it can be a tool for some people if it's helpful creating, again, that food boundary for you. But it is definitely not necessary for weight loss, for body fat loss. We know that calories in, calories out, even with hormones and other variables, is still a thing. So having a cutoff time for her, she had talked about, like, she just was in a huge habit of snacking in the evening times when she got home. And honestly, this has always been a pattern of myself also, because, you know, back in the day, way, way back in the day when I was more like anorexic or had bulimic tendencies, I would basically not eat all day. And so evening time, sitting, watching TV, even when things, like, I was healthier, it was just when I would get in most of my calories and I wasn't weight training at this time. So, you know, eventually you want to get to a point where you're evenly spacing out your calories for the most part. But if you know you tend to overindulge in the evening time, I would say, first of all, make sure that you're eating enough throughout the day so that you aren't starving by the end of the night and just, you know, emotionally eating or binging or overindulging or whatever you want to call it. But her cutoff time was 9 p.m. and I love that. And I think, you know, I worked with this habit as well. And what it does is it just makes you aware, not like, oh, I only have this amount of time to get all this food in, like I'm going to binge and eat all this food. But it just makes you aware of kind of what it feels like to feel full, what it feels like to not go to bed with like a full belly, or just being like stuffed, like sometimes would happen because you just sit there and you're bored and you keep eating. It just makes you aware. But I just love that, you know, having a cutoff time. And then in that time, you know, creating more awareness, I know she's working more on her food choices. So kind of two things, but I do love the cutoff time for anyone. And I know that's a lot of us. We get home, we stress, snack, maybe we're having our glasses of wine, which lowers our inhibition, which makes us eat more things that we wouldn't necessarily have eat. And I just think having awareness of your behavior by putting in a couple of boundaries like this is really, really helpful, because it may feel like a little bit of a restriction at first, but if you look at it like anything, this is a behavior change towards my health that I'm going to be working through, because I have not been advocating for my health with my previous behavior. It's a beautiful thing. So as far as training goes or workouts go, we talked about this too. She said she never goes more than 2 days without going to the gym. And even if she doesn't feel like it, she shows up. And sometimes she's like, sometimes I just walk on the treadmill. But I just think that's great. Like, I know it's really, really fun and exciting to have a plan and just be like, you know what, in 6 months, I'm going to have like a totally different physique, blah, blah, blah. But baby steps are how you get there and how you stay there. And I saw a thing on social media too about baby steps. And it was like, baby steps are actually a big deal. They're actually not baby steps, because if you think about how babies progress, it's all this natural, like, it's the next thing to take them to the next level. It's huge. You know, they go from tummy time to lifting their head up, to crawling, to pulling themselves up, to walking. Like, we call them baby steps, but they're huge milestones. So, you know, don't underestimate the little things that you can do, these little boundaries that you can put in place to just be jumpstarting you to your fitness goals and a better, healthier you. And then she said, and part of that was just showing up and trying. And I talked to her about this too, that some days I just don't, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, some days I go into the gym, I don't really have the energy for it. You know, maybe I end up only doing, you know, an exercise in my compound exercise, and then I'm out if I don't have the energy for it. And then, I mean, Hannah said to me too, she's like, yeah, and some days I'm like, I don't really feel like it. I don't think I have the energy for it, but I show up. And then I get a PR or whatever. So you just never know. And you don't want to have any regrets about missing out on an opportunity to better yourself in that way. So, so that's kind of my wish for all of you all, is that when you feel like you have the energy or you don't feel like you have the energy, that you show up, and that the outcome, because honestly, even if the outcome is like, you know what, I got half my workout in and I'm going to just try again tomorrow, it's still something, and it's still better than nothing. So, and then as far as training goes, she did ask me a question about training to failure, and she's younger, she's in her 20s, but, you know, I think training close to failure and pushing yourself is always very important. So as far as somebody like myself who is in her late 40s, I would say that you might switch your rep ranges a little bit. So I'm not doing 5 to 10 reps on a lot of exercises, especially my heavier ones, because the risk for injury is greater. Especially with my joints, it's not necessarily an age thing, but my joints and the wear and tear that has happened on my body over the last, you know, decade and a half or so with training. But like, you always want to push yourself. And like I said, originally, even that failure point is going to be different from day to day, because your 100% is different from day to day, which is why, you know, I do recommend if you're following some sort of training program that you do record things, and you can make notes about, you know, those energy things. If you didn't have enough sleep the night before, or sometimes, you know, hormones or your menstrual cycle can affect how your energy is for that day. Sometimes stress can affect it, this type of thing. So anyways, you know, you just gotta do your best. I mean, we're not all trying to compete or become Olympians. Most of us are trying to be healthy for the long term and establish habits that we can stick with, and over time we will see improvements in our health and our physiques. Quick fixes don't last. So, so it's really important to establish habits that you can stick to. And then overall, one of the things that we talked about, and she got very personal, and actually so did I, which was really, really neat, just talking about things going on in our lives. She said, and I relate to this in its entirety. She said, I really just was like, it's time for me to worry about myself. And I think a lot of us who are maybe empathetic, you know, are empaths and are people pleaser type people. I literally said to her, you know, you can't jump lakes for people who won't jump puddles. And so won't jump puddles for you. And I think a lot of us don't recognize that, or, you know, it's not like we're expecting that in return. It's just, that's how the relationship is. We will literally do anything for anybody. And even with me stopping and talking with this girl, you know, I might not be this talkative when I run into her again. It was just a time where I felt it was okay for me to be vulnerable, and I had something to give. So I had the energy to give. And I talked to her briefly while I was training. And then afterwards on the way out, we ended up talking for a longer period of time. And I just want to, you know, encourage other people too. When you run into people at the gym, your gym time is your time. And some people need that socially, and some people need that, physically for like what they go to the gym physically for. I don't want to say that's what they go to the gym for, because some people go there for a social reason or whatever. And that's not usually me. It was just a time, I guess I was just open to it. It was very timely. So you get to decide, right? And I think it's hard for people like me to say, I don't really feel like talking right now when that time comes up, but I have had to utilize that. And most of the people are very gracious to me when I say that. Like, I am here for like the physical stress relief, and I don't, you know, and you can always say, you know, catch me at the end of my workout if we're still around, or you can, you know, message me on social media or text me, or we'll get together or something like that. And so, you guys, life is so hard with boundaries and caring about yourself. I just find that it's really, really hard to do that. And you don't, sometimes it's like too much and you feel really selfish. And other times you're like, oh, I need to be more selfish. And, you know, you struggle with it, and then things don't come across well either. So, man, like, navigating relationships with others and yourself is really, really hard. But back to the boundaries that we were talking about today, I think it's really important to put those in place for yourself. And it's very helpful when you're trying to customize a fitness plan, a health plan for yourself. And so, you know, looking at what boundaries you can put into place. And it's the same for all of the pillars, right? For sleep, you know, the main thing, right, is getting off your phone and screens a couple hours before bedtime, which I don't know who does that. Most people don't. I think we have this big fear of missing out. And just, it's a relaxing time. Again, it goes back to that, you know, you don't have time. You do have time, you don't have energy. So, you know, this is why you watch like The Bachelorette and stuff like that. It's not like it's enlightening or like edifying really in any way. It's more mind numbing. And I think a lot of us are doing that. But time off of social media can be very, very helpful, because you're just not filling yourself with a lot of that stuff that causes anxiety. And if something huge happens, you'll hear about it. You know what I mean? So, and same for like water, maybe that's drinking 8 to 16 ounces right when you wake up, you know, right before a couple of your meals, or setting a clock, or Again, a cutoff time is good so you're not up peeing all night. And it's just something that you have to work with. One of the cutoffs that I used to do, and I still do as far as part of it goes, when I was done eating something, eating a meal, like a meal or whatever, usually, like originally, I would put a piece of gum in my mouth to signify that, like, no more food's going in my mouth for a little bit. And obviously, you have, like, mint gum and, you know, it wouldn't taste good to eat something else again. So having a little signal, that is also a good boundary. But now I always floss afterwards. I'm just a compulsive flosser. I have those floss picks with me all the time everywhere. And when I'm done eating, I floss. And a lot of times I put a piece of gum in my mouth. So I feel like that's a very helpful one as well. And then I did talk to Hannah about this, but just not labeling foods black and white and saying, you know, I can have this anytime I want to. You know, and I just know it's not good for me. And she was saying too, one of the things she was noticing is that certain foods don't make her feel well. And I'm like, yeah, they don't, because they're not really good for us. And I think that is important, and I'm proud of her for recognizing that, because you're really listening to the biofeedback from your body that says, like, you know, you don't really feel good when you eat like a whole McDonald's meal or Pop-Tarts or whatever, you know. And I'm just as, I don't want to say guilty, because I do this, right? Like, if I'm out and about, I'll be like, you know, even if I'm stressed, like, I could use some chicken nuggets right now. And I don't ever feel bad about it. I just adjust my diet for the rest of the day and I move on. And there was a time a couple of months ago that I was getting McDonald's chicken nuggets 2 or 3 or 4 times a week. Just for a few weeks, I just really was like, it was the middle of winter. It was getting me out, tasted really good. And I mean, honestly, what is a 4 or 6 piece chicken nuggets with barbecue sauce? Like, it's a snack. It's not anything to feel bad about. But that's been a mindset shift over a long period of time, to just be like, okay with a little bit more what I would consider normal. And even sometimes emotional eating, but putting a boundary on that too. Like, maybe you're having a bad day and you're like, you're going to call a friend and you're like, let's go get crumble cookies. Now, that doesn't mean that you eat a whole box of crumble cookies. It just means you want to go get some, you know, food, and it's emotional and it's satisfying, and you eat some, and maybe you eat some the next day, you put them in the freezer, you eat a little bit of cookies every day until they're gone. Like, that is being, that's having that balance in your diet and not having food have this, you know, this chokehold on you. Like, you know, I just can't believe that I am able to do that anymore. I never would have been able to eat a little bit of cookies every day for a week and, like, not hate myself. So you will get there. And it's through putting up these boundaries and practicing and seeing what you're comfortable with and reminding yourself. Oh my gosh, you guys, I can't even tell you, if I had a dollar for every time I literally told myself or somebody else, like, it's fine, it's okay. Like, I feel like I say that to myself a lot throughout the day when things don't go how I planned, or, you know, you're just doing your best. You're like, it's fine, it's okay, it's fine, it's okay. It's like on repeat in my head. So, sometimes you just have to tell yourself that, and of course make sure that you're putting in the effort and you're doing your best, but you have to be like, it's fine, it's okay, it'll be okay. This is how we make it through, because you're not going to have perfect days, you're not going to have a perfect environment. You just have to choose what you want for yourself, and you put up those boundaries for yourself. So anyways, you guys, I hope that this was helpful in some way. Life lessons are happening all around you. And I admit, I'm not always open to connecting with other people, because when, you know, especially this phase of my life, I just feel like the introvert in me is really standing out. And I guess that's another boundary that I've put in place for myself, is just because every relationship you have, every person you let into your life is going to provide you with a mix of good and bad. And if you're somebody like me who carries a lot of other people's burdens, you have to be very selective about who you allow in your life. And so that's just a boundary for me. I never know. And I tend to draw people that I can help or that I want to help. I think I am very aware of people that are hurting or needing assistance. And so I think that's who I draw in my life. And so I have to be very careful about who I allow. But yeah, that's just one of my boundaries for my mental health and also for, relationships. So anyways, you guys, hopefully more, more episodes to come, but I just want you to know that I appreciate you, and I will be, I'll be putting out podcasts as I can. And oh, also just a friendly reminder that I do believe I will be emceeing the Grand Rapids bodybuilding competition, coming up in May. And one of my thoughts was that I was going to repost the four to eight most popular interviews, just so that if I get new people that are listening to the podcast, they can make sure to connect with some of those, the best interviews that, that y'all downloaded. So I think I'm going to do that along with some of these shorter ones that I, have just practical application, for you all, and we'll see how that goes. So, and then I think this summer I want to do some of those dieting ones again. Those were very helpful for a lot of you, having a sample diet of what that looks like in a day. We'll see. I have a lot of ideas. It's just a matter of what I want to put my energy towards. So anyways, have the best day, everybody, and remember that healthy looks different on everybody. I'll talk to you soon.